The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
All right, the UFC's first event of 2021 goes down tomorrow afternoon on Fight Island with a big time main event at 145 pounds, the first mixed martial arts main event in the new Etihad Arena in Abu Dhabi, and the first mixed martial arts main event to be broadcast on ABC, a network with a rich history in the combat sports world, as we welcome you to the UFC Fight Island 7 preview show here on MMAfighting.com. I am Mike Heck, being joined in Abu Dhabi by Jose Youngs and the Prince of Positivity, Alex Kaylee. Gentlemen, a lot to like about this card, a lot of interesting storylines, but Jose, let us begin with the main event. Max Holloway is going to compete in his first non-title fight since that crazy win over Ricardo Lamas at UFC 199. He takes on the surging New Englander, Calvin Kattar. This is the fight everybody wanted. This is the fight Calvin Kattar wanted. Certainly doesn't seem to be the fight that Max Holloway wanted at first, but he seems pretty damn excited about it now, as you've heard and have probably seen in these face-offs. So now that we're less than 24 hours away from this one, Jose, what do you think of this piece of business to cap off the first event of 2021 for the UFC?
I mean, it's a great main event, especially for the UFC's debut on ABC. Max Holloway has never been in a boring fight. Calvin Kattar has looked like a world beater as of late, knocked out a who's who at featherweight. And I think a win here, I don't know if it gets him a title fight. He might have to fight maybe one more, especially because the beat's out there and Yair is still floating around out there. But he said it himself enough. No other featherweight's gone. He was the most active featherweight in the top five in the UFC. So a win keeps that trend going. Win over Max Holloway, who's the number one ranked featherweight in the world. Can't shake your head at that. Absolutely phenomenal fight for the UFC's debut at ABC. I don't want to say it's going to be fight of the night, but it's not going to be a bad fight. I'll tell you that much.
AK, I think you and everybody else in the MMA space knows how I feel about this matchup. I've been giddy from the get-go. First fight card to air on ABC for the UFC and the sport of mixed martial arts. You'd be hard-pressed to find a better matchup to put on the poster for this one, right, AK?
Mike, I'm going to say it before you do. Oh, the New England Cartel in the main event on ABC, first UFC show of 2021. I should have let you say it. Yes, the New England Cartel is being represented, of course, including Calvin Kattar and Rob Font, who we may see main eventing later this year. Who knows? But it's a big deal. And as Jose said, they really, I don't think could have found a much better, non-title fight for this first ABC show. It's two guys who are really good to the media, really exciting fighters, great stories. Max Holloway, a super fan favorite, which I think if you can see, anyone's reaction to the two Volkanovski losses, it kind of tells you just how popular Max Holloway is. He's somehow in losing, I think he's become even more popular. I think people, there's just something about him that really appeals. He's kind of cool sometimes. He's got that laid back, it is what it is style, and I think that's going to play really well on national television. So, and ABC, that is specifically because he's been on national television before. And Kattar, again, he's got that, I hate to say it, but America loves that Boston sports story, don't they? They love that Boston sports scene. He's so representative of that, of Massachusetts and New England. And if he wins, it'll be a great story. He's a really nice guy, really hardworking. He's been the game for a long, 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 long time. And it feels like, if anything, the spot's a little bit overdue. And he's really being rewarded, for sort of the efforts he's put forth in the last couple of years, taking all the tough fights, including fighting Zabit on short notice.
Jose, there's been a lot said about where Max Holloway's head is at. Like, is he over the two losses to Volkanovski, especially the second fight in July? He's saying he feels like the champion, saying, you know, things like 80 to 90% of people thought I won that fight. Cater told me when we spoke a few weeks back, he thinks there's a chance Holloway is looking past him. And if that's the case, it's going to be a huge mistake and a long night for Max Holloway. And that's an interview Max has watched or read, because throughout a lot of his interviews, he has referenced Calvin Kattar saying that along the way here. So are you concerned at all where Max's head might be heading into this thing, or not at all?
No, not at all. Max Holloway is one of his fight IQ is some of the best in all of mixed martial arts and all of combat sports in general. He knows the task at hand. At media day, we talked to him about, you know, Volkanovski and Brian Ortega and this and that, and he is solely focused on Calvin Kattar. He himself said he doesn't even really watch fighting, so he didn't watch too much of Calvin at all. He was obviously aware of him as the champion, considering Calvin was tearing through the rest of the division while he reigned atop. But no, Max Holloway is not taking Calvin Kattar lightly whatsoever, because he wants the belt back. He feels like he's the champ, but he wants to be the champ. And the only way he can continue to push towards getting either a fight against, like, especially if Brian Ortega wins, if Max Holloway beats Calvin Kattar and Brian Ortega beats Alexander Volkanovski, like, that's the fight to make, is Brian Ortega versus Max Holloway too. So Max Holloway is fully aware that, and I think Matt Schnell said it best, he's not fighting on this card, but he just did media day today, winning solves all your problems. And that's exactly how Max Holloway needs to view this fight. Like, great, Max. He doesn't have the belt. He's not getting the black championship fight kid. He doesn't have the C next to name. But if he doesn't win, he can't get any closer to that. So there is no part of my body that feels like Max Holloway is taking this fight lightly.
We talked about this on Between the Links, AK. I think this is going to be a very big year for the featherweight division after, let's be honest, a pretty quiet 2020. We got the title fight. We got Ortega's win over the Korean Zombie. I'll even throw Josh Emmett beating Shane Burgos in there. And then, like Jose referenced, two big wins for Calvin Kattar. Holloway's 29 years of age, still a young man, but he's heading into this fight a loser of his last two fights. Kattar's a veteran. He's getting better. The New England cartel is enjoying this impressive surge. People are starting to recognize them. But I'm curious, a win is obviously massive here, AK. If Kattar wins, I kind of disagree with Jose. I think his next fight is absolutely for the belt. If Holloway wins, not out of the question, especially if Brian Ortega beats Volkanovski, whenever that fight happens. So to the winner goes the spoils, AK. But how far of a setback will this be in the championship conversation for the man who does not get his hand raised tomorrow?
It's funny you mentioned that, because I agree with you. I think Kattar sort of has the more obvious path. Like you said, I think regardless of who wins between Ortega and Volkanovski, if Kattar wins, and especially in impressive fashion against Holloway, he should get the shot. Yes, Zabit is out there. Yes, Zabit beat him. But again, Zabit's year of inactivity unfortunately kind of pushes him to the side for now. And I'm sure he would say that Kattar should have to get through him. I don't think he gets to call that shot anymore. And Holloway, yes, if Ortega wins, instant title shot for Holloway. He dominated Ortega in their first meeting, and so the rematch makes a lot of sense. But if Volkanovski wins, there's almost no way they can book that rematch. So how much a loss sets whoever back really also depends, again, on if that Volkanovski Ortega fight, well, I should say when that fight gets booked and who wins it. I think the loss will be a little more damaging for Kattar, actually, surprisingly, because Holloway has the name. He's in that championship sphere where I think we know the UFC loves to give title fights to fan favorites. Usually, once you reach that level where you fought in, we said this is Holloway's first title fight, non-title fight, excuse me, since July 2016. Either way, in over 4 years. So he's someone that they'll be comfortable slotting in no matter what. They've given guys like Jose Aldo, Dominic Cruz title fights off of losses. So I think Holloway actually is in that sphere where it won't hurt him as much. Kattar, unfortunately, I don't think it's fair, but I think people will view it as him sort of failing to sort of pass this litmus test and show that he's ready for the next level. I think it would put him like two fights away from getting back to a potential title shot. So I'm actually leaning towards Kattar being hurt more if he should lose on Saturday.
Like, you've heard so much to like about this fight, so many more stories to look at when it comes to breaking these guys down. But let's get down to the nitty gritty, gentlemen. Let's make our picks. Jose, we begin with you. who leaves Etihad Arena with the victory between Max Holloway and Calvin Kattar in that big brain of yours?
I have a feeling that I will be speaking with the winner, Max Holloway, after Saturday night. And I think Calvin Kattar is awesome, and I don't think it's – I think it's going to be one of those fights where we've said it before, like the loser gain – the loser is still a winner. It's going to be one of those fights. I think he's going to have a very phenomenal showing. I think this is his skill set he brings matches up very well with Max, especially for an exciting fight. I just think Max is the better fighter. There is a legitimate argument that Max Holloway won both fights against Alexander Volkanovski. Obviously, the second fight, the vast majority think he wins. The first fight, I scored for Volkanovski. The second fight, I'm pretty 50-50. I've watched it a few times, and I can't make up my mind. At the time, watching it live, I scored for Volkanovski, but I've gone back and forth a lot since rewatching it. So I just think Max could very well be the best featherweight in the world. It's just unfortunate that a couple judges didn't see it that way against Alexander Volkanovski. But I think Calvin Kattar isn't gonna lose any momentum in with the loss. I don't think he's gonna lose any rankings. I think he's gonna gain a lot of fans, and I think moving forward, even in a loss, this is not the last time Calvin Kattar is going to headline a fight, and by no means do I ever see him not challenging for the title. I think he's a future title contender right now. I just think Max is the best featherweight in the world.
AK, I know your prediction piece is out now on MMAfighting.com, but for those who would rather hear you speak and wax poetically your pick on this program, the floor is yours, sir. Who wins tomorrow?
Yeah, I got to go Holloway, too. He's at least one of the two best featherweights in the world in my eyes still. So it's on Kattar, not just, you know, he's not just fighting for a title fight here. He's fighting to break into that top two, that top three. Again, some may argue he's done enough already. The results have been really impressive over the last few years. He's got first round finishes against really tough guys. So if people think he's a top three featherweight now, just based on talent and what the eye test, I wouldn't blame them. But for me, you have to take that spot. That's not a spot that you can just get based on fan opinion. And unless you're on off some crazy, 10 fight win streak and you just don't get a chance to face someone like Holloway. But he is getting that chance on Saturday. So it's fun to speculate, and say, yes, this for sure. I know for sure this guy's ready to make that leap. I just can't do that yet. Holloway has looked so good in the last Volkanovski fight. Even the first fight, which I'm fairly convinced he lost, it's not like he got blown out. This might be this sort of thing we're talking about where he doesn't watch fights, and that might have cost him in the first Volkanovski fight, because it certainly didn't cost him in the second fight. He looked very familiar with what Alexander Volkanovski was bringing to the table in their rematch. And like Jose said, a lot of people thought he won. It was a really close fight, and he did. He had the most damaging strikes of the fight. That's a fact. But did he win on the score system? That's another story altogether. So yeah, leaning towards Holloway, just skill wise, I just don't see anyone that's better than him other than Volkanovski. So I'm not ready to pick against him yet.
This is a tough one because Max has the experience. He's fought in nothing but title fights for the past 4 years plus. I love Kattar's reference about, if we were in high school, I'd be the senior and he'd be the freshman. Like, I just think that's great, just considering the age, and it's just a good apt comparison. But DC has famously said many times that there are levels to this game, and some people lean on that when making their picks for this fight. And Calvin Kattar continues to get better. He was probably the MVP of the featherweight division in 2020. Max is ready. Calvin is ready. That face-off earlier today was phenomenal. But there's one thing that sticks out to me in this fight that not a lot of people are talking about. A big narrative heading in is Max Holloway is the volume guy. He'll keep bringing that volume from start to finish. But a big maybe even a bigger question is, what happens when somebody else brings volume to him? When he faces fighters that land at a higher volume, he struggled. Volkanovski, not once but twice. Dustin Poirier brings that volume as well. He struggled against Dustin Poirier. And even though Max gets a lot of praise for being a volume guy, Kattar's a volume guy too, and he's underrated in that sense. Plus, he's bigger than Max, which doesn't happen that often, and he's got the power advantage too. So while it is a tough pick, and if you listen to the On to the Next One 2021 prediction show, I have no choice. Anyways, I'm doing it, but I'm going with the New England cartel. I'm going with Calvin Kattar to get it done at Dog Gods. We'll see how it goes, but I just love the fight. I think it's Calvin's time. I see that look in his eyes. I think he gets it done. It's a great fight, though. It's going to be really close either way, but that's that. Co-main event, It's finally happening, gentlemen. Carlos Condit versus Matt Brown at 170 pounds. I don't care if this fight was booked 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or gets booked 5 years from now. My level of excitement is high no matter what. So, AK, we'll start with you here. Especially after hearing what these guys had to say at their media days, what are your thoughts on this fight that we're going to finally see tomorrow night?
I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled. This is, yeah, we got to keep reminding people. Afternoon show, guys. Afternoon show, not an evening show as usual. I'm thrilled because this is why you keep guys. This is why when we saw some of the releases like Yoel Romero and even a Jussie Formiga, like, you want to have high level guys around in the UFC so that sometime these matches can materialize, right? They're never going to do a Legends League. But this is sort of one of those unofficial matchups that we would put in that bracket because wins and losses, they could both be on 6-fight losing streaks. And I would love to see Carlos Condit and Matt Brown fight. But as it is, Condit actually recently snapped a losing streak, which was nice to see with a very, very convincing performance. Matt Brown, unfortunately, is coming off that loss to Baeza. But again, like I said, it doesn't matter. This is a fight that people who have been watching the sport for a long time, if I may have tuned out, if I told some of my friends who have sort of phased out of the hardcore MMA fandom, if I told them, by the way, guys, you know, remember Carlos Condit, natural born killer, and Matt Brown, they're fighting this Saturday. There's a lot of people who would tune in, and again, it being on ABC, you combine that. There's definitely a lot of people who I think you drag a lot of casual interest. I'm not saying either guy was ever like the biggest mainstream draw, but there is that audience of UFC fans who, you know, don't quite keep up the product like they used to, who will come back for this fight. Stylistically, it is just, it's a dream. It's a dream. It is no more matching up Condit with grapplers and submission specialists. I don't know why we had that little stretch there where that was happening. No one wanted to see that. We have two guys who, yes, I know they're both well-rounded fighters, but they want to stand and fight. They want to go for that fight of the night bonus or that performance bonus. So awesome, awesome co-main event. Really, really great booking by the UFC matchmakers here.
Jose, what do you think of this fight?
This fight rules. Like you said, it doesn't matter when this fight is booked. This fight absolutely rules. I was sold on this fight when they were supposed to fight on UFC on Fox 9. I was sold on this fight when they were supposed to fight on UFC on Fox. I can't even remember the number. It was supposed to be the Justin Gaethje or Dustin Poirier Justin Gaethje card in Glendale, Arizona. And I'm sold on this in 2021 all the way out here in Abu Dhabi. I wish it was 5 rounds, but I don't think this is going to go 5 rounds. Matt Brown, in his words, say he cannot envision a scenario where he doesn't dominate Carlos Condit, which is, you love to hear it. You love to hear any fighter that's confident, especially a fighter of Matt Brown's caliber who's seen everything. Carlos Condit disagrees. He says, quote, "I'm going to F up Matt Brown. I'm going to finish Matt Brown." I tend to agree with Carlos Condit. He's lost to higher competition than Matt Brown. I think he's just looked better than Matt Brown throughout his career. Matt Brown has been an absolutely phenomenal fighter. He's one of the best welterweights of all time. He's one of the more unheralded fighters at 170 pounds because he's fought a who's who at that division. Carlos Condit is one of the five best welterweights who has ever stepped into the UFC octagon. And he beat Robbie Lawler. I don't care what anyone else said. He beat Robbie Lawler. So I think Carlos Condit beats Matt Brown. I'm not confident whatsoever. I just think he has more tools, better array of striking, a better array of submission. We've seen Matt Brown get head kicked. We've seen Matt Brown get submitted. Matt Brown has also knocked down, submitted a lot of guys too. I just think it's Carlos Condit right now. It's his last fight in his contract. He's going to want to put on a good showing. Matt Brown is even talking about retirement right now. I just think, in the year of our Lord, 2021, Carlos Condit is a better fighter than Matt Brown. And this fight rules.
This is a very special fight. And you sort of touch on it, Jose, because regardless of how it plays out tomorrow afternoon, this could be the last time we see either of these guys in the UFC. Matt Brown, like you said, he's been talking about retirement, something he thinks about often. Concerns with long-term damage, even referenced our own Stephen Morocco's piece on Spencer Fisher when discussing that. Condit, last fight of his deal. So this is definitely something to keep an eye on. Very interesting story heading in. But Jose's going with the natural-born killer, AK. Are you with him or are you picking Matt Brown?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going with Carlos Condit, sort of for the same reasons I picked Max Holloway. I just feel like we've seen both guys a lot. Combined, they're over 40 UFC fights, so we know what we're getting from them. And I do think Condit is the higher level fighter. He is the better striker if this stays on the feet. Again, even on the ground, I would see them that team being a little bit more of a stalemate. So So for me, it's Condit all the way. I do wish, again, like Jose said, that this was a five rounder. I think it's one of those fights after, because I think it's going to go the distance. So I am excited. That's sort of how I differ in my prediction. I do think it'll be Condit by decision. And I think we'll be wanting, they'll be slugging it out to the end. And we'll be one of those things like, man, this should be two more rounds. You know, this should have been a fight night main event. Or someday in the future, the UFC will realize that it's possible to have five round co-main events, especially when it's a fun matchup like this one. So no disrespect to Matt Brown, again, the most tenured welter. I believe he's setting the record when he walks in the cage on Saturday for the most UFC welterweight appearances, and he's had a hell of a career. And what a great moment it would be if we did see maybe not a dual retirement, but if Conor he's a free agent, decides to leave, if Brown decides to retire for good, if that is the last time we see both guys in the UFC, what a nice sentimental moment that would be. And again, another cool thing that they could say happened on the first UFC show on ABC. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen. You know, part of me, I'm hoping the guys have good health, if they want to retire, that's great. But as a fan, I still want to see the guys fight more. And if that means Condit going to the PFL or Bellator or Ryzen, something like that, I'd be all for that. But we could have ourselves a moment on Saturday.
Yeah. I love the heat between these two guys at this point in their careers. I think it's great, but I'm going to lean Condit as well, just because I think he's just got better movement overall. I think he's going to use that in this fight, and who knows, maybe we see for the first time ever like a patient, methodical Matt Brown. I don't think we will, but I think it's more likely that if Matt wins, he's going to catch it with a big shot early. That absolutely could happen, but I feel like Condit's going to stick and move a bit more. He'll fight Not a safe fight, but a much more technical fight. Brown, typically a killer be killed kind of a guy. We love that about him, but I think I'm going to lean with Carlos Condit. Close decision, he gets it done. This is obviously a really deep card, especially in the main card. We got the return of Santiago Ponzinibbio taking on Li Jingliang. First fight since November 2018 for Ponzinibbio. Under the radar story for sure heading into tomorrow. Jose, let me just ask you real quick. Ponzinibbio's health issues, very well documented. The guy has gone through hell and back to get to this point, to get back into the octagon. When he hit the scales, how did he look?
He looked like he had a missed a beat. He came in 171. He was the last one to weigh in, but it's not like he went down all the way to the wire. He weighed in with 30 minutes left. He was all smiles. He seemed genuinely happy to be doing media at the media day. He didn't seem to care who he was fighting. He said he would have fought Francis Ngannou if they'd offered him. So he's in a good place right now. He didn't look sucked out. It didn't look like he was in any sort of rough shape whatsoever. So I don't know what it'll look like when he steps into the octagon. That remains to be seen, because I think ring rust affects certain people differently than others, especially people that are coming off a bone infection. But in terms of how he looked on the scale, it looks like he hasn't missed a beat. He was absolutely all smiles. For me, it was this afternoon. For you, it was in the morning.
Yeah, he was in. He looked like he was in incredible shape, and we were kind of saying, "Oh, is he coming in last for whatever?" I think he just chose to come in last. He's in incredible shape, and then at the stare downs, he had a nice little shout out to Diego Maradona, RIP, of course, and him, and they had a little unfurled little flag. So he looks literally, again, if anyone's been reading the stories about what he's gone through, he literally looks like a man with a new lease on life. So we could see him fighting with a certain joie de vivre on Saturday.
Yeah, I think if he's even a piece of what he was before after the Neil Magny win, they could use him. 170 needs some movement right now, and I think he could be a very interesting piece to this puzzle. That's a great fight. We got the return of Joaquin Buckley, the knockout of the year man, against Alessio Di Chirico. Undefeated prospects collide.
Trap fight. That's a trap fight for Buckley. I'm picking Buckley, but that's a trap fight. I think Di Chirico is... It's better than, I know he's three straight. I think he's better than people think. I am picking a Buckley win, but I don't know. I don't know if it's a walkover like the matchmakers think.
It's definitely not a walkover, because Jericho is absurdly tough. Like walking has some knockout artists, but like, I didn't get to ask him because Buckley didn't really seem like he wanted to be doing much media day. But I was like, what's it going to be like fighting a guy who just continues to be there in front of you? So I'm very curious to see a fighter of Joaquin Buckley's power fight a guy who can take an absurd amount of damage in Alessio Di Chirico.
and a really good counterpuncher too, which is going to make things pretty interesting in that fight. But I love the main card opener between Puna Soriano and Dusko Todorovic. Good God almighty, undefeated prospects. That is a crazy fight. But it's under the radar time, Jose, before we let you catch some Z's on this crazy day on Fight Island 7 Eve. What's the fight on this card that has you excited that nobody's really talking about?
The Soriano fight, Dusko Todorovic rules, is because I love when undefeated fighters match up. And Dusko Todorovic is low-key a very fascinating individual because he's doing his thesis right now in Serbia. And when I asked him about it, he said, no comment, doesn't want to talk about it. Carlos Felipe, Justin Taffa is going to be a fun fight. Justin Taffa is obviously from a part of the world that's kind of taking the MMA world by storm right now in the Australia, New Zealand Carlos Felipe was he obviously wasn't a massive star coming out of Fight Island, but for people who are here on site, he had a very interesting post-fight press conference. Like I believe he beat Jorgen De Castro, if I'm not mistaken. They had a lot of heat going into that fight. I think a lot of people picked De Castro to win. Felipe won, and then he called out some guys. I don't know if he didn't get the fight he wanted to, but I think he used his mic time well. So I remember leaving that press conference looking forward to his next fight. Not because I thought he was a world champion or a world beater, but just because he gets it. Like, you know, when you interview guys, they just get it. They know how to use their fight time. They know how to use their mic time. They know how to get people interested in their fight. And he just, especially Aaron Guillerme Cruz, he translated a lot of what he was saying. It just made me interested in to see him watch him fight again. So I'm very interested in Carlos Felipe. Zawada is a fun fight. Sam Moraes is one of the more interesting interviews we'll get. Canada's own, like I'm sure AK Lee will say, Vanessa Mello actually made weight. So that's the first win for her. I think she's still looking for her first UFC win, if I'm not mistaken. So not the deepest card in terms of like fights that jump off the page. But if I had to really pick one, I'm going to leave a specific one for AK Lee. I think it's a featured prelim fight. That's why I didn't say it, because he's been talking about this man for probably more than anyone else I've ever met. So I'm going to go with the Carlos Felipe, Justin Taffa fight for the prelims for my pick for fights to circle.
AK, put it on a tee for you. Go ahead.
Well, wait, I talked about Phil Haas. Phil Haas's brother hates me, apparently.
Uh-oh.
He hates him so much that he came on screen and muted AK's mic.
Oh, no.
Hello, hello?
Hey! Hello? He's back. He's back.
Yeah, it's definitely on my end. I was seeing no output on my thing. Sorry, I was saying someone claiming, I believe, to be Phil Haas's brother just DM'd me and was not happy with me saying that Haas had taken like such a difficult, unlikely road to the UFC, had so many stops and starts with the Ultimate Fighter. He didn't make it through there, didn't make it through Contender Series. But none of that stuff matters. Phil Haas's brother is right. None of that stuff matters. He had an incredible debut in his in 2020, incredible UFC. I believe he was under 20 seconds, I think, he got the finish. So that was freaking awesome. So yes, Phil Haas and Nazardeen Imavov, great, great fight. And again, like I said about the Dikirko fight, people don't sleep on Imavov. He's really good. But as excited as I am for that fight, and as much as deserving as it is of the featured prelim spot, I actually am, the two fights I did also want to talk about, Jose picked Felipe Taffa, which I agree, and I love. They weighed in. These are big boy heavyweights, guys. These aren't tall games. Big boys. Felipe 264. Taffa 265. That's what we like to see in the heavyweight division. But no, I really the one that's really, really flying under the radar, Zawada and Amiv. I think Zawada, because his UFC results so far have been a little uneven. People are kind of forgetting he was putting in work in KSW. He's a really exciting fighter. He just beat Abubakar Nurmagomedov, who's actually a pretty highly touted prospect. He beat him inside of a round in Russia. So that was a huge. And then lost to Li Jingliang. No shame in that. Li Jingliang is obviously a top welterweight. And Danny Roberts, split decision. Very good fight. So I like that. And Amiv is a guy who, don't be surprised if we're hearing him in the welterweight title picture in 2020, maybe not this year, but in 2022. It's a very stacked division. He's a really good fighter. He does need a signature win. He's beaten guys around his level and below his level in the UFC. But I think Zavada is the right matchup for him right now. So I like both guys. And again, same with Zavada. Zavada can go on a run, and I think people will – it almost be like a Jan Blachowicz thing. It's like, you know, coming from KSW and like having a bit of a slow start, and then you realize, holy cow, this guy's like really talented and could be, again, a future contender himself. So that one, no, I feel like nobody's talking about it and could be one of the better fights of Saturday night.
I'm going to kind of piggyback off UAK. I'm going with the return of Phil Haas. I mean, the knockout – 254 was in 18 seconds. The fight was over. It was violent. He's got himself a step up, though. Nassourdine Aimavov has won 6 in a row. Fascinating fight. It's lined very closely. The odds makers have Aimavov is a plus 130 underdog right now. So Vegas is looking at it as a very close fight. I'm looking at it as a very close fight. We'll see how Phil Haas can follow up his highlight reel stoppages from 2020. But it all goes down tomorrow. Just a reminder, once again, prelims start at noon Eastern Standard Time on ESPN Plus in the U.S., 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Main card simulcast on ESPN Plus and ABC, which is very, very cool. We'll have our pre-fight show Q&A like we did last month. We introduced that. You guys are digging it. We had fun with it. That's going to go down at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. We'll chat with all of you, answer questions, and get everyone fired up for the event. Jose, of course, will have all the backstage interviews with the winners, press conferences, etc. I have a special guest lined up for the post-fight show tomorrow night, so stay tuned for that. And with that said, we put a bow on our first preview show of the new year. For Jose Youngs, get some sleep, my man. Alex K. Lee, I am Mike Keck. Thank you all for watching. We'll see you tomorrow afternoon.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.